Better and Longer with The Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Hi team, I'm Fitz, your fitness expert from fitness.com, and welcome to The Fitness Show. So I wanted to start off this episode by clearing up some confusion. Rudy, my buddy Rudy, who's this amazing voice of running, and he's the voice at the beginning of my Fitness Show intro, he calls me the bossy blonde. Some people have thought he's calling me the Aussie blonde, and no, I am not from Australia. I am born in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, pure American, and I don't even speak Australian, which is really funny because people, obviously, they speak English in Australia, but holy cow, is it different. It's way different, and I'm not Aussie. I'm bossy, and I'm very, very bossy, and I take great pride in that. Now, mind you, in normal circumstances, with regular people that I'm just being regular with, I'm not bossy. Okay, sometimes I'm a little bossy, but with fitness, I'm totally bossy, and this is the reason. It's because I'm right. I'm right about almost nothing else in the world other than my country, but I'm usually wrong. I'll just say, hey, when it comes to anything else on the planet other than my country and fitness, I'm wrong. But when it comes to fitness, I'm right. I have science on my side. I have 27 years of experience on my side, and I have your best interest in mind. And so I'm bossy because I care. And you all know this, you've heard me before, but it's so funny. I thought he was saying Aussie blonde. No, I'm bossy, and I own that. And but Australian. So I work with the Wiggles. So if you know who the Wiggles are, great. You know, they're this awesome, cool kids band from Australia. And if you don't know, you do. They're considered the Beatles for the preschool crowd. And they sing about everything on the planet. Very educational, very fun. Fruit Salad Yummy Yummy is one of their great hits. We all can sing that song. It'll be your earwig for the day. But anyways, I started working with the Wiggles back in 2007 and doing celebrity interviews. I'd show up wherever they were on tour. We would do these little workouts on video. I'd interview them. They'd show me what they were doing backstage to stay fit. And it's funny because especially Anthony, my blue wiggle, and I call him my blue wiggle because I love him. He's mine. He's very fun and very athletic and very sweet. And the blue eyes ain't bad either. But we would be on camera. I swear to God, we're both speaking English. But yeah, we'd have no idea what each other was talking about. It's very interesting, the clash between our languages, even though we're technically speaking the same language. We would just stare at each other, blank stares, and he'd go, "What, Fitzy?" Say, "I don't know what you mean." So Australia, they just fun up the English language. So what I've learned is that they add a Y on the end of most words. And so instantly I became Fitzy to Anthony. We had never met before, and he was like, "Hey, Fitzy, how you doing?" And it was very endearing and charming. But it's Jeffy and Lockie, and they all have E's or a Y at the end of their names. And then they add Y's at the end of towns and sports teams and so forth. So Australian, I don't speak it. Aussie, no, I'm bossy, not Aussie. So anyways, we just got done with Halloween. I hope you all had a lot of fun. If you have children, I hope you took them out for miles and miles of trick-or-treating. I did that with my kids. And what's great, they're 13 and 11, and they're not too cool. And they went out and they had a great time, and my neighborhood is epic. It's just a wonderful, wholesome, working-class neighborhood, and people tend to go out for the holidays and go big, and they really do a ton of wonderful decorations and make it really fun. We have children of all ages. We've got retirees here. Everyone, I would say the theme is everyone has a job or is retired from a job. It's just a nice place where people treat each other well and take care of their property, but the holidays are done really well. So we have this pizza party at the clubhouse, and then, you know, 100 kids scatter throughout the neighborhood. And we walked them. We walked them. In fact, my son is in another walking shoe. He ended up kicking the ground during the soccer game Saturday. I coach their team, and he came off. He asked to come off the field. And when I pulled him off, he said, "I cracked my foot." But he was kind of laughing. I said, "Are you all right?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Explain to me what happened." And he didn't really have a good explanation at the time. But I think I ended up putting him back in. The timeline's a little fuzzy for me, and he played great. Boy's got moves, and he's in great shape. But later that day, he was grimacing while walking, and he had had a bad break of his other foot last year. He broke a sesamoid bone, and look that up. That's a little pesky little bone in the ball of your foot. He split his clear in half, and it took 6 months to heal. And this thing couldn't be any bigger than a blueberry, but it wreaked havoc on my son, and he was on crutches or on a knee scooter, sometimes in a wheelchair, just to take the weight off of his chest and arms. And so when I saw his foot, when we really started paying attention to it, it's the fifth metatarsal, which is the other worst bone to break. And I know this because I've broken that one, and it took forever to heal. And He did have an injury of the fifth metatarsal, but it's a soft tissue damage, a strain, no breaks, thank God. So they put him in the shoe, not the boot. So he had ankle flexion. He was able to trick or treat up and down the hills in my neighborhood. That's another thing. We basically have the only hill in Florida here. And they walked and walked and ran, and I walked. It was a great night. And so now we got all this candy, and so I've taken the candy and I've hidden it because they don't have the ability to restrain themselves. My daughter's actually doing really well, but I saw that my son was getting into the candy a little too aggressively, so I pulled it from him, and he actually said thank you. I don't think he wanted to eat the candy. He's very concerned about having a healthy body, but it was there, and the natural instinct is, ooh, Twix bar, ooh, Milky Way, and so I took it. And I'm doling it out a couple pieces a day as a response. But we're going to give a chunk of it away as well. And you know, if you're an adult, we talked about this last week. You know, wait to the last minute to get the candy if you're getting candy at all. And definitely get something you don't like. But if it's in your house, you have control of it, and you can't use restraint, give it. Most dentists have a deal where they're buying candy by the pound and shipping it off to our troops. And so do that, or drop it off for your favorite first responders, you know, or just give it to the trash can. If you are listening to me now and you are within arm shot of that bag of candy, go dump it in the trash and then shove it down into the gross sticky stuff in the trash so you won't be enticed to go reach in and have a piece. Just get rid of it, because I tell you what, November 15th, if you've been gobbling up candy for 2 weeks, you're not going to be very happy with the way your jeans fit. You're going to hit the holy crap stage, and it's not going to be fun. We've got Thanksgiving bearing down on us, Christmas right around the corner, and then a New Year's celebration. And just don't do that to yourself. And so part of this fitness thing is just about showing discipline. I know you can do it. I've seen you do it before. In fact, the people I'm training virtually, and that's you, we're having success stories out the yin yang. And so many of you just email me those success stories, or you send them to me on Facebook or Twitter, which I love, and keep that going, because I wake up in the morning and I've got, you know, a message from one of you saying, "Hey, I had a great workout," or "I've lost 17 pounds. Boom. That's made my life. My life for the day taken care of. So keep doing that. But I know you've got excellent restraint. In fact, I just posted a success story on fitsness.com. It's from Richard Green. And Richard has lost 154 pounds. That's more than me. He's lost me and a toddler. And it's just extraordinary. And not only is it incredible to look at his before pictures and read his story, and his story is incredible and very well written. He's an attorney, and I expected nothing less than an incredibly written story. But I got to witness this man running as a pacer 2 weeks in a row, I believe, in California a couple weeks ago. The guy is pacing half marathons. That means he's the guy you follow if you want to run the race at a certain time. He's that guy now, and he's 154 pounds less than he was. So oh, you know, I looked at Richard and he's come into my life recently. So I know he lost the bulk of that weight without me. And I thought, well, do I have any ownership of this guy? He's part of my Hottie Body Fitness Challenge, which is amazing. And I love being able to guide him. But he included in his story, which now I feel like I have a relevant part of his life. He said he was adding back in the calories he had exercised off. And so he had sacrificed some of the weight he had lost. He gained some back and he really wasn't able to pull it off again. And so, you know, when we talk about our caloric budget, unless you're doing 2 solid hours a day of exercise or more, we don't add in calories. We don't say, oh, I burned 300 calories in a Zumba class. Now I'm going to eat those 300 calories back. That's nonsense. If you're trying to lose weight, you stick to your caloric budget, add exercise, and then the weight falls off. If you're unfamiliar with what I'm talking about, go to my site, look up the exact formula for weight loss on fitness.com, and you'll read and understand. But Richard's been able to take off, I think it's another 20, 30 pounds since he started using my exact formula, along with not re-consuming the calories he had burned. So it's a great story. And I have probably 150 success stories on my site, along with Racy Runner. So, you know, I know you have discipline. Going back to the Halloween candy, do you want to be a success story? Do you want to be a before and after picture? If so, take that trap. Take that candy, throw it in the trash. If you're not going to give it away, that's fine. You don't have to screw with anybody else's waistlines or teeth either. Just trash it. Unwrap it. Throw it in the toilet. Flush it down. Just do whatever you can to get it out of your face immediately. So that's my bossy lecture on the Halloween candy. But we actually had a great time. I love Halloween. It's a super fun holiday. My daughter dressed as Woody. My son dressed as the devil. I, at some point for my kids' party, I dressed as Miranda Sings. And Miranda has this thing where she's a comedian who plays a character, Miranda Sings, but she puts lipstick really big around her lips. And I thought, oh, that would be such an easy character. She's basically a nerd who thinks she's a great, talented singer, actress, model, magician, and she's not. So I thought, great, I got the red dorky pants, a button-down shirt tucked in, these weird barrettes in my hair, and then I put on, I wanted to put on the lipstick. I could not get the lipstick to stay. It just kept breaking up around my lips, and I looked like I just drank a lot of Kool-Aid or something. So this costume that I thought was going to be really, really easy to do, maybe I just had the wrong lipstick, but I kind of looked like a messy face girl, so oh well. But it's a great holiday. We had a ton of fun, and if you were wearing your Fitbit that night, you probably logged a lot of steps, and that's great. Speaking of logging steps, I'm going to dive into politics here. So here's the deal. I am crazy political. My undergrad degree in college was political science. I have very strong opinions about my country and defending the Constitution and so forth, but I'm not going to get into the ugly side of politics with you because I don't want you to hate me based on the candidates I like or don't like. So even though it pains me to step away from that, I'm going to. But I love politics, and I especially love talking with people who disagree with me, because I just think it's interesting. Sometimes I learn some things. Sometimes I enjoy the argument. I love the debate. Let's not call it an argument. Let's talk debate. And so interestingly enough, you guys have heard about my sister. She's the mean one. But you can't talk about any politics with her because she's the kind to scream and slam the door and storm out and throw things. And I find that sad because I love the political discussion, especially when someone disagrees with me. But here's the deal. We're all dealing with politics right now, right? We got this major presidential election. We've got two very interesting candidates. And of course, the top two are very flawed people. And the bottom two have no chance. I'll just say that because that's fact. So they're adding some interesting kind of fork in this road, but it's aggravating, okay? So whoever you like, you're hearing trash about that person nonstop, and it's probably frustrating you. And if you care about this country, whatever your positions are, you're probably pretty frustrated by the whole thing and sometimes excited, and then you get frustrated, and then the WikiLeaks drops a bomb, and then, oh, agony. So I want you to utilize fitness as a way to get through this. It could drive people to drink for sure. It could drive people to indulge in Ben and Jerry's. It's kind of like breaking up with a person. It's very stressful at times. Like I said, and especially if you care about this country, whatever your stances are, politics, especially this election, is fairly brutal. So, you know, take care of yourself physically, and that will take care of you emotionally. You know, we have to yield to the majority of the country, at least electoral votes. And, you know, half of us are going to be really excited. The other half are going to be really miserable. And I have let elections bring me to tears. And that happens because I love my country so freaking much. That's the country's my thing. But yeah, don't let that happen to you. So as these ugly days go forward before Super Tuesday, get out, walk, get out, run, lift weights. Lifting weights is a thing that helps me most. Hit something, go to an Orange Theory class, do yoga, do Pilates, whatever it is. But build workouts into your day. If you live with someone who hates your candidate and vice versa, go out and exercise. Hit a stadium. Go climb the steps at the stadium. But that's really the solution, because other than casting our ballot, we're sometimes powerless. You know, you can talk, sway, convince people if you can, hold a sign. But you have to take control over you, be powerful over you, your body. Thank goodness you're the president of your body, right? So what do you want to see done with your body? You know, we don't have to send a bill to Congress and let them approve our decision with our body. We just get to make it. And so fitness is going to count more now than ever, because it's a very stressful time. And you know, it's a solution to a lot of things. It doesn't fix our problems, but it will fix your personal problems and your certain personal stress level. And so get out and move. Vote if you're informed. If you're not an informed person, I don't mind you sitting this election out. Having uninformed people vote, I don't think benefits our country at all. But I think you should get informed. And if you're going to vote, I want people to vote. I just want them to be informed first. But exercise. And if you're really passionate about a candidate, well, then let's do that exercise. Let's get the sign up and go stand on a corner and walk around. That's a great way to burn some calories. You're holding the sign, you're waving your arms back and forth. It's certainly a way to exercise your right as a citizen here, lobby for your person, and burn a few calories. So yeah, politics, exercise. And one of the things that I use in my corporate fitness presentations, and I'm able to reference the past two presidents. So we got Barack Obama, George W. Bush. You like one, you hate the other. You hate one, you like the other. It doesn't matter to me. But the thing they both had in common is that they both exercise almost every day of their presidency. And so when people tell me, hey, Fitz, I've got no time to exercise, I'm just so busy, I go, really? Because the leader, most powerful person in the free world for the past 16 years has exercised almost every day of their presidency. And so you're not the president. I don't think Obama's listening to me right now. So everybody else, you're not the president. And I know you feel important and busy, but I don't know. I think we probably take a second seat to their level of importance and busyness. And the lesson learned on both sides of the political lines is that these men, both Bush and Obama, knew/know that they cannot do their job, and certainly not do it very well, without being fit. And so take that with you. And hopefully whoever is elected president for the next 4 years picks up a good fitness routine, because I tell you what, they're not going to make it. Especially if we're looking at two 70-year-old candidates. They need to start moving, start walking. Start lifting weights and stretching, because that's a stressful job. But party lines, doesn't matter. We all need to exercise. It will help us recover from this ugly political season and manage our stress with our family and friends who disagree with us. All these horrible Facebook posts going up. Just go out for a walk. If it frustrates you, giddy up, get outside and do something. Actually, go for a horse. Go ride a horse. That would be nice. If you have access to that, man, what a really good time. And I think most trail rides are about $20 to $25 for an hour of trail riding on a horse. What an amazing experience that is. It's so much fun. In fact, last weekend I went to a corn maze with my kids, and we took a hay ride. We got to go feed the cows. And that was really fun. And cows are so pathetic. I mean, they're sweet, sweet things. They got their eyes on the other side of their head or the outside of their head, so they can't really see forward. I'm trying to feed them these. They look like pieces of charcoal, but they're some sort of cow food. But the poor deers can't see me in my hand, so their eyes, their big bubble eyes are jetting out to the side, and they use their big tongues to try and grab the food. And it's messy, but their tongues are long and scratchy, kind of like a giraffe tongue. And it was a lot of fun. So if you have any fall opportunities near you, go do a corn maze for the day. That would be a really nice workout. And if the corn maze is big, maybe you can log some significant miles. The property we went to was owned by a private family, and they had 200 acres. And so there was lots of opportunity to walk, and they had games and archery and horseback riding and fun stuff for the kids. But I certainly had a nice active day being out there. So seek out seasonal fun. Go to the orchards. I know in Michigan they've got apple picking, and all across the country there's fun fall stuff to do. So find that and build it into your weeks or weekends. And that's a nice way to make fitness more enjoyable. This weekend I am heading off. In fact, this afternoon I'm heading over to Disney World for the Run Disney Wine and Dine Half Marathon. It's a race I've done a few years in a row. This year they've changed things up. It used to be a nighttime race, and now they've made it a morning race. And so Friday morning, that's tomorrow, there's a 5K. Saturday morning's a 10K. Sunday's a half marathon. And I'm just going to do the 10K this year because I have to run that race real quickly and then get home to coach my soccer team. But they're usually really good races. Run Disney has changed along the years, but this should be an interesting weekend. It's inaugural. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it. One of the niceties of Disney is the crowd. You know, the people. I think if you go to Boston, most of those runners are really serious, hardcore runners. Disney, there's almost no serious, hardcore runners. And I don't say that to diminish anybody, but these are runners who pursue races for fitness and fun, and maybe, yes, they're challenging themselves and training hard and preparing, and I'm not diminishing that, but they're fun. They're wearing costumes, they're dressing festively, and they're more concerned with spending quality time with friends and going for this 13.1 mile adventure and earning a beautiful medal than they are, you know, being intense about anything. So I'm looking forward to seeing so many friends there. I have many listeners coming that I'm supposed to meet up with. I have plenty of individuals from my Hottie Body Fitness Challenge. Stephanie will be there. Melissa will be there. Oh my goodness, I'm brain dead. I think Robert Schultz will be there. There will be lots of friends there. So I'm looking forward to that. So if you haven't tried a Run Disney race, certainly worth a go. They're extremely expensive, but they offer something that many events don't. In fact, next weekend, I'll be in Monterey, California to announce the Big Sur Half Marathon at Monterey Bay. And wow, you want to do a racecation? Head out. They call it, I think, the rocky edge of the Western world. That area reminds me of Ireland. It's a beautiful stretch along the Pacific Coast Highway where the ocean meets these rocky cliffs and the mountains are green. It's actually pretty cool and damp there throughout the year, and it is just stunning. And the folks at Big Sur International Marathon put on an amazing race. I'm grateful they've chosen me as one of the announcers. I will be working with Rudy Novotny, who he's a longtime Big Sur runner and announcer. And if you're looking for something luxurious in the running world, Big Sur is definitely it. And the marathon, which is late April, they do have this marathon that sells out in a heartbeat. In fact, there's a lottery. So you have to basically apply, and then they'll let you know if you get in. But beyond the marathon, I think it's a 21-mile, a 15, a 10.6, a 9-mile, and a 5K. I could have some of those distances wrong, but I think the best race out of all of it is a 21, because the first 5 miles aren't so impressive. I mean, they're very nice, but it gets really, really good when you're about 5 miles in. So if you want to save yourself some distance, you want to just go 5 miles lazier than the marathon, some of the shorter distances are an outstanding choice, and those are a lot easier to get into. But yeah, you know, you don't have to be a hardcore runner to do these events. Sometimes you just got to get really mad at the U.S. presidential election or ticked off with your local Senate race, and it'll kick you out the door, get you to start walking and running. And oh my gosh, now you're doing the Big Sur Marathon 10.6 miler. So there's a lot of really cool opportunities with fitness. And I think Richard Green, in fact, going back to that success story, Richard lost 154 pounds. He was a sedentary guy and was intrigued by the Disney 5K. And then he saw that there's a cutoff time, and they said you have to go at least 16 minute mile. That means no slower than 16 minutes per mile. And so he was intimidated by that first, and so he didn't sign up. But then he learned about the Couch to 5K program, and he thought, you know what, now I have a training plan, so I'm going to give it a go. And he did. And I wonder if he imagined himself 154 pounds less back when he signed up for that first 5K. You know, what are you imagining for yourself? You got to see it sometimes. I think back when I was heavier, I thought of me smaller, but I think I was just thinking of getting rid of parts of me. And then I started to imagine myself as lean with curvy, hard muscles. That was a priority for me. I didn't want to be skinny, because you know what, the folks who suffered through the Holocaust, they were skinny. Skinny's an insult. I don't like it when people call me skinny. Don't do that. I'm muscular. I'm athletic. And so that was a vision for me. And, you know, when I started kickboxing, that certainly had a lot to do with creating a very athletic body. But I tacked on the weightlifting. And that's what I envisioned for myself. I didn't want to just be thin. Thin's fine. There's nothing wrong with thin. But I tell you, the bodies I see that run through my finish lines, I'll have 20,000 runners come through a finish line in one day. And the ones who I know lift weights, man, they light me up. And on occasion, you get the guy who's 64 and he comes plowing through the finish line. He's one of the first marathoners. You know, there's a bunch of 30-year-old, early 40s, late 20s people, maybe 17 of that age group to come through the finish line of the full marathon. And then boom, there's Mr. 64, and he is jacked up strong, and I know why he's still leading the way, and that's because he lifts weights. So strength training was a high priority for me. What is it for you? What are you trying to accomplish? You know, maybe you're trying to get rid of, you know, some pudge around your waistline. Maybe you have quote-unquote saddlebags. That's what you're trying to get rid of. I get it. And your caloric budget, your exact formula for weight loss will help you lose weight. What are you trying to be? Who are you supposed to be? Will you have broad shoulders? Will you have curvy biceps? Will your hamstring jet out when you bend your leg? You know, let's work towards something that you want to be. Instead of just running away from something, which is weight, let's move towards something. Are you going to be the guy who can do a split? Maybe you want to start doing some yoga if you want to be that guy, or just in some intense stretching. You can't do a split unless A, you're genetically predisposed to it, lucky you, or B, you're training for that split. So, you know, always be thoughtful with your fitness training. You're watching what you consume, you've got your formula, but now what's your motivation when you walk through the doors at the gym? I have a guy, Rob Stewart, who I've mentioned before, but Rob in January was kind of your average sports bar guy. And, oh, and this is the thing. He kind of had the belly and the chest. He was, oh, what is he, 50? He's 54 pounds less than he was, I believe. So he's over 50 pounds heavier than he is today. But he just looked like that guy. And there's a picture of him. And he's got the button-down shirt. And I think he's got a beer in his hand. He's kind of round in the chest and the waist. And he's got fluffy hair. It's not afro. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's 3 inches long. And now Rob is gym guy. Rob looks like he owns a weight room. He's dropped 54 pounds and he's been strength training and he's bald. He's shaved his head. And you look at this dude and maybe he's on a semi-pro baseball team. He has completely changed who he was. He went from average guy to bald, fitness fiend. I look like I own a weight room, a gym. I look like I play semi-pro baseball. Who are you trying to be? Oh, and then I have Russ Stringer. And so Russ has lost. He's trying to lose 50. He's down, I think, 38 pounds right now. And Russ, it's not only his waistline. And so I think I've told you about Russ before. He went from, I think his shirt was 2XL. Now he's wearing mediums, which just makes my heart pound out of my chest. But his face, he looks 20 years younger than he did in January. It's outstanding. It's only, November. Jesus, it's November. But who are you? What do you want to see from yourself? Do you want to look younger? Are you imagining your face to start looking more youthful because you're losing weight? Or is it just you want a juicy, muscular butt? Do you want one of those butts that say kapow? You can accomplish that, but you got to see it. You got to know what you're aiming for. And so have a purpose. Lord knows what's going to inspire you. It could be Donald Trump. It could be Hillary Clinton. It could be a horrible, aggravating fight you got with your mean sister that gets you out the door, gets you to go run a mile. But, crazy things will inspire you to move towards fitness. But where are you going? You know, I feel like many of you listeners, you're halfway there. So I feel like most of you are exercising at some level. Some of you are really hitting it hard. And then some of you just starting out. But I want you all to be rock star success stories. I want to put every last one of you up on fitness.com and say, look what we did. Look what we did. Look at this person put her foot down at election time. And holy hell, she doesn't care who's president now because she loves her body. And he is doing this and that. So know where you're going. That's a good place to start. And of course, if you're a new listener, go back to the beginning episodes of the Fitness Show. That's where I talk about the exact formula for weight loss. I talk about strength training for a lean, hard, athletic body, how to manage your workouts, the worst excuses, why your excuses are lame. Oh my goodness. Your excuses are totally invalid. Oh, so there's this woman at my gym. She's Billy Bob Sykes. I might have mentioned her before, but you should go to my Fitness on Facebook, Fitness Facebook page, and you'll see Billy Bob. She's 91 years old. She was just hired to work for the gym, and she's an ambassador for seniors, but she's a sweetie pie. She's a retired teacher. She's a Southern Belle, and she started going to the gym at 75 years old because she was down in the dumps when her husband died. And so now she's so cute. Oh my gosh, she might be 5'2", but she bounces around this gym and she has a good workout, but her job is to serve as an ambassador for the senior population and encourage them to start exercising or to broaden their horizons within exercise. And you know, when I'm 91, I want to be Billy Bob. She is absolutely adorable. And you know, at 91, so many people would think, yeah, I'm never going to work out. I'm not going to the gym when I'm 91. Are you kidding me? Well, when you're 91, that old philosophy that if you're not working on getting stronger, you're getting weaker, you don't want to get any weaker at 91. You want to be at your best. And so that's what we're working towards, too. It's not just to have the Richard Green type success, but longevity. And not only longevity, but quality with that longer life. So, you know, there are no excuses. You can find a video, you can find 100 videos a day on social media or YouTube of some cute little kid with no legs running a race. Or, the list goes on and on. People overcoming adversity to do something heroic. You know, if you've got two functioning legs, your spinal column's in good shape, you don't have a lot of excuses. And I hope you take that seriously. What can I do to be better today? I'm always trying to be better as a person, as a mother, as a professional, and then physically. I'm not satisfied. I feel like I'm in a great place. I do love my body. I don't think it's the perfect, you know, Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition body, but it's mine and I like it. And I've worked hard to get it where it is, but I always want it to be better. And, you know, right now I'm working on some hip flexibility because I've got some hip tightness issues. Oh, here's something. So I go to physical therapy, and I highly recommend physical therapy if you've got any sort of aches and pains. And one of the things that I have been doing wrong that has been causing a significant amount of low back and hip pain is crossing my legs. And so if you are someone who has low back pain or tightness in your hips, or pain, you can't sleep on one side because your hips hurt, stop crossing your legs. Give that a go. And what he said means it made so much sense. He says, your hips crave symmetry. Just think about it. When you crisscross your legs, one entire hip comes up, rotates. It's really ugly when you think about it. And I don't think there's a way to balance out, oh, I'm just going to cross my right leg over my left for 20 minutes and then go the opposite way. I don't think that works so well. So if you can, sit with your knees together, ladies, in a dress, or cross at the ankles. He said that's okay. But I have stopped crossing my legs for about 2 months now. When he pointed it out, I was actually waiting in the waiting room with my legs crossed. He goes, do you do that often? I said, of course. He said, stop it. Stop it now. And I have. And the decrease in hip and low back pain has been extraordinary. So your hips crave symmetry. Now you know. All right, team. Well, I have blabbed your ear off for quite a while now, but I'm going to try and include or record more Fitness Show episodes. I really appreciate your feedback. I appreciate the fact that you guys are engaged and I'm able to entertain you and distract you while you're working out or traveling. That keeps me going. That keeps me very happy. But I'm going to include some more guests. We're going to be talking to our success stories because that's always interesting to hear about, and maybe I'll record some footage out on the road. So don't forget to like this episode, comment. We appreciate that always. Like me on fitsness.com or social media channels. Follow me. Send me your questions. Send me your answers. Send me your feedback. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Pinterest. On Facebook, @fitness, FITZNESS. You want to get your kids moving in the morning? Change your life forever. Stick around. Listen to the commercial at the end of the show and learn about my Morning Mile program. That is it, folks. Good luck with this election. I think we all need it. Get to work.
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children a chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.